Praise God. God is good. And all the time He's good. I'm so thankful for everything that God is doing. God is working and God is moving on your behalf. I don't know what kind of a week that you've had, if it's been good or if it's been bad, but irregardless of what you've had, I want to tell you that God was in every moment of that week. He knows what you've faced, and not only does He know, but He's been in that with you. And so one of the things that I like to get people to do is to practice the presence of God. Practice being in the presence of God. So stand to your feet. Church is not a spectator sport. Church is a place where we're going to give you the fuel that it's going to take to get you through this week. Your pastors have you for a couple hours a week. And then you're on your own as far as getting yourself fueled up. So as soon as we can get that music playing, we're going to begin to pray. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, right now, God, I thank You for dominion and authority. So God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I take a hold of every single thing, God. Lord, and I tell it right now, God, to line up for what You have for this service. God, right now, I rebuke every foul snare that would try to hinder Your children from receiving the word that You would have for them this morning. God, I thank You right now for the United States of America. God, I thank You, Lord, that You're causing us to be humble. And God, when we're humble, God, You're going to see who's on Your side. And God, I thank You right now that You're moving on the behalf of Your children, God. Lord, if people have come in here today, God, and they're weary, Lord, I ask that You'd give them hope right now in Jesus' name. God, for every person in here that's battled with depression this week, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke it and I bind it up. Every amount of stress, every amount of worry, defeat, rejection. I speak to that right now and I tell it has to leave right now. See if there's been something and it's bothered you all week. I'm telling you right now to release that right now in the name of Jesus. The Lord wants to take that burden from you right now and I'm telling you to lift it up to God. See, right now you should be praising. Praise. Why? Because He inhabits the praises of His children. Lord God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank You for the Holy Ghost. God, I ask that You'd walk down each and every single aisle right now. God, touch every heart. Lord, where there needs to be conviction, God, I ask for conviction. God, where there needs to be peace, I ask for peace right now. Lord, I pray right now for President Trump. God, I ask that You'd hold him up. God, give him strength. Lord, help him to endure his calling. God, give him favor right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I ask that You'd help. Help us all, Lord. God, we love You, Lord, and we praise You. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all may be seated. Prayer is communication with the Lord. Don't tell me how saved you are until you can tell me how much you pray. We need to be a people of prayer. You cannot get through your day. You cannot get through your life. You cannot get through the family problem, through the financial problem, without prayer. Without prayer. I'd like to turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 14 this morning. We're going to start at verse 1. And it says, "Now Hiram, king of Tyre, sent messengers to David along with cedar logs, stonemasons, and carpenters to build a palace for him." So the king sent some things David's direction because, see, God intended for David to be able to have a palace, so God sent the provision, and He sent it via the king. I'm here to tell you today that God knows exactly what you're in need of. He knows exactly the thing that you say, God, this is holding me up. And so if you'll set your hearts on things of God and say, God, I'm going to do this your way, God is going to send the provision. God is going to send the breakthrough. God will send the healing exactly to that place in your body, exactly to that place in your soul, exactly to that place in your heart. This is not a gimme, gimme, want, want. Every day, God's there to pour himself out into you. And every day he wants you to be that vessel that says, God, here I am. Here I am. You know how difficult it is to be able to say that to God? It's very difficult. Because most of the time, we got our own agenda. We got our own stuff that we want to do. We've got our own little shenanigan that we're wanting to pull. Have you come to the end of that place in you where you just say, God, now I'm done with that stuff. I just really want your will. God, I've lived long enough to see that, God, this needs to go your way. So it says here in verse 2, and David knew that the Lord had established him. He knew it. When you read about David, what you see is somebody that had a lot of flaws. He did some stuff. One day he took another man's wife. Then had him killed. He did a lot of stuff. He did a lot of stuff. But David also was a man after God's own heart. Because he knew that, you know what, God, I love you more than anything. See, we mess up in this life. We have troubles in this life. We're not perfect. Now, do I want everybody else to go out there and be shacking up with everybody else's spouses? No, I don't. I'm going to make that clarification. Because this is not David times. This is right here and now. So I just want to clarify that. I've learned in a year and a half, you know what I've learned? Clarification is the key. That's what I have learned. But let me tell you something. There was things that David knew. There was things that he knew. And when he knew them, nobody could take them from him. He knew God had established him. What does the word say about establishment? He says, the steps of a righteous man, they're ordered. God will establish them. God will establish them. See, it's so easy to say, well, God, what about this person? They're hindering me. God, what about this thing over here? Look here, you do you, boo-boo. That's what I tell my kids. Carson, I don't want to hear about what they're doing. We're here to talk about you, Carson. You do you. That's all we're concerned about. See, David knew that it was God that had established him. Many times I meet people, and when I meet them, they're in the middle of their life struggle, their life trial. And we meet them over horrible terms. Well, what does God do in horrible places in people's lives? He takes them and he lifts them up out of it. He loves on them. He cleans them off. He picks them up and he puts them on top of the mountain. And then he watches people. And you know what a lot of people do? They leave God. They forget what they were in before God was in their life. Very quiet in here. This is not the time to take a vacation from God. This is not the time to say, oh, I'll do that later. No, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day. Today, Kiele, is the first day of the rest of your life. The things that concern you, they concern the living God. He knows them. He has the solution. He holds it in the very palm of his hand. And so what we have to do is we have to have the knowing, God, this looks messed up right now, but Lord, you've established me in this thing, in this place, in this job, in this family. So God, I'm not going to be messed up about what things look like, because God, I don't go off of what it looks like, but God, I go off of what you said. What did God say? God said that the victory has already been won. That's what he said. He did not tell you that it was going to look pretty. Because look here, I'm here to tell you, most of the time in the middle of the battle, it is not going to look good. It's not going to look pretty. People think that this is a playground down here, and this is a battleground for good against evil, and it's a constant thing. You ever wake up and you think, why am I in a bad mood? Why am I irritated? Man, that's the devil wanting to come out and steal your joy for that day. For that day. Why does the Word of God says, now, Lord, Holy Spirit, give us this day our daily bread. This day. See, the devil is there to steal, kill, and destroy day by day, inch by inch. You have to know that everything that you are, everything that you've ever been, everything that you'll ever be, God has already made established that. He's already done it. Well, you say, well, there's things that I've done in my past and I'm not proud of them. Look here. Did they get you to where you are today? They did. You know what, Crystal? There's things that I think, oh, my God, if anybody ever finds that out. Look here. God already forgot about them. We look back in things and we think, oh, look here. God's already established that part of your life. It's done. It's over. You don't have to meditate on that any longer. And so it says, and David knew that the Lord had established him as king over Israel, and that his kingdom had been highly exalted for the sake of his people. See, when God does what he does for you, he does it because he loves you, but God also has a reason why he does the things that he does for you. See, God ain't going to just bless your socks off just for you to sit and think, oh, I'm so blessed, or oh, I'm this, or oh, I'm that. No, he's blessed you so you can be a blessing. He's preserved you so you can help preserve somebody else. He's put his hand of favor over you. There's a return that we have to give the Lord. See, David knew that it was for the sake of those people. He knew it. He knew it. And it says, in Jerusalem, David took more wives and became the father of more sons and more daughters. Something tells me David was just a little bit of a ladies' man. That's what I gather. Well, he had more wives and more children. Back in those times, that was a sign of blessing. In these times, I think that would be like a insane thing to do. Ain't no man needs more than one wife. Amen? And sometimes that one is real questionable, and vice versa. But see, David knew that God established him. He knew it. Sometimes I'm looking and I'm thinking and I'm seeing every problem and I'm seeing everything that I don't think or I don't feel is going right. And God says, Kelly, look how much I've already established you. It's only going up from here. It's only going up from here. Don't be so concerned by what you're seeing right now. Because see, underneath, you don't see, Kelly, what I'm doing, but underneath, there's a very big harvest. There's a very big payoff. And the payoff is the souls that the devil had handpicked to go to hell. And see, they're going to go to heaven. They're going to go to heaven. Years ago, we had an old lady in our church, and her name was Miss Parsons. You ever met a cranky old person? Oh, well, I don't don't even know how to describe Miss Parsons, because she was not only cranky, she was just something. I mean, she was mean. But we all loved her, because we didn't have a choice, basically. And we used to go to her house every week and see Casey and I are 5 years apart. And so Casey got to go to school, and then I would stay with Dad and do these little home visits. Well, that's why I love people so much, is because I learned early on how to just love on people and just love on them and to just minister love to them. And Miss Parsons, she said, "Brother Angelo, I had a vision of people coming in this place, their rear end first." Well, let me tell you something. We're living in the day and age. Everybody's a rear end, if you know what I'm saying. Glory. I'm starting to see that vision come to pass. I got people sometimes, and I know they're, I'm like, what is that person, what are they thinking when they're in here? They're thinking, I don't know what I just got myself up into. Look here, people are going to come in here, they're not even going to know why they're in here. And then God, the Holy Spirit is going to hover over that person, and he's going to right some wrongs. See, a lot of people, they feel like they've been wronged in their life, and they're holding that against God. Let me tell you something, God will right every wrong. He'll heal every place that you've been hurting. Where you feel like somebody did you wrong, he's going to make it right. But you have to know who you owe. You have to know that, God, I'm still standing today, and it's because of you. Has anything in this year made you feel like, oh, my God, this is going to be it? I'm going under. This is it. This has been a year. Can we all agree this has been a year? Look here. It's up from here. It's up from here. Well, Pastor Kelly, you're crazy. Look here. Yes. I'm not going to deny that. But the silver lining is this right here. It doesn't matter if it's in the middle of a pandemic, in the middle of war, in the middle of whatever, God will fight your battles. He will show up. He will show up on the scene. He will show up when you were wrong. He'll show up when you were right. Why? Because you're his kid. You're his kid, and he loves you. But you got to know that you're established. And it says, when the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over all Israel, they went up in full force to search for him. Look here. You ever know somebody's heard something about you? And you think, God, how do I handle that? Well, you do what David did. You go towards it full force. See, when God saved you, he didn't save you and make you a little girl. He saved you, and he put you on the top. It's not the time to shrink back and to neglect your prayer life, your family, your church, all of that. It's the time to go on in full force. Full force. And it says, but David heard about it, and he went out to meet them. He went out to meet them. When trials and troubles come, it's not the time to leave God. Why? Because the Word tells you that trials and tribulation, they'll come. That doesn't mean get mad at God and leave God. That doesn't mean get mad at the pastor and leave the church. You know what that means? That means dig in your heels and tell God you're moving on, and you're going to do it his way, and you surrender. And I love David because there's times where I think, David, were you dumb? Because he did some really dumb things. You ever done something dumb? And you think, in the moment, that makes perfect sense. And you give it about 5 minutes after you do it, and you're like, you realize, oh, that was really dumb. Well, David did some dumb things. We do dumb things. But I love all the things that David did right because they're key. They're key. And so it says here that they went up in full force to search for him, but David heard about it and went out to meet them. Now the Philistines had come and raided the valley of Rephaim. So David inquired of God. David asked God. See, David saw the problem coming. How many of you can see that there's problems coming to your doorstep? You see them. When you see problems coming to your family, when you see problems coming to your finances, when you see problems coming to your health, a lot of times people, they'll sit there and you'll show signs and symptoms of some things. See, we can preach about these things because my family has lived these things. You're looking at somebody here that the Lord took cancer out of her body. Sister Millie had to inquire some things to God first. She said one day, she said, Kelly, I've noticed something that's happened in my body. A lot of people would look past that. I'm going to go see a doctor. See, let me tell you something. We've never preached against doctors in this place. Luke himself was a doctor. When you see things coming to your doorstep, say, God, I see this problem and I see it coming. God, I know you see it coming. What are we going to do? Many people, Megan, they skip that step. They see there's a problem coming. And they skip the step where they're going to ask God, what are we going to do about it? You can't skip that step. That's the most important step. I remember when this pandemic came out, and at first, I thought, this is not a big deal. Why is everybody making a big deal about this? This is stupid. But what's going on? Well, then I started realizing, no, this is a problem. This is a problem. Uh-oh. And I sat, and for days I said, God, what are we going to do about this? God, what are we going to do? Parish Christian Center and the whole thing was out two services. That was it. A Sunday night and a Wednesday. That Wednesday, I sat on my couch, and I looked over at Jeremy, and I had the biggest conviction come over my heart, and I knew it was the Lord, and he said, Kelly, you're not doing right. Don't you close my church. Amen. You know how much criticism I took for not closing church? Good thing I was raised up in criticism. Amen. Help me learn how to take it just a little bit better. Amen. See, when this ministry was founded in 87, God took my father on a little trip, just God and Daddy, and God lined out the foundation of the ministry. He said, do not close the church. Keep the doors open. Keep doors open. Why are we talking about this? Because look here. Leave your door open for Jesus. A lot of people right now have shut the door to God. Their lives are going haywire. Why? Because they've forgotten their first love. They've forgotten who took them out of all of that stuff. Out of all the stuff. See, you can't go and forget God. when it gets hard, you got to say, God, this is hard. This is difficult. God knows. You know what I started doing? There was a part of me DJing those outside services. I just loved it. You know why? I couldn't see who was there and who wasn't. All I could see was the dogs fighting. I was like, hey, as long as it ain't the church folks, I mean, I don't care, you know? Then I'm sitting there preaching live, and here comes this crazy gentleman in his wheelchair, and he started looking around. He came right up to me. And he starts looking, and he goes, who is she mad at? And everybody goes, that's just how Pastor Kelly is. She's loud. She's loud. Look here. God established you. He established you. Stop looking at where you're at in your life right now and hating everything and being angry at everything. Look here. You're not staying where you're at. You're not staying where you're at, so stop being a baby about it. Say, God, I know we're moving on. So, Lord, establish me some more. Order some more steps because I'm going to go with you on this one. And so here it says that David inquired of God, and he said, shall I go and attack the Philistines? Will you hand them over? You know, there's battles that I got myself involved in God never called me to. You ever get yourself in an argument and you wish you hadn't because you're thinking, that wasn't even my argument to get up in. You ever gotten yourself up in one of them? And you're like, why did I get up into this? Because I shouldn't have? See, you better ask God. You better ask him before you get up into some things. God, there's a battle going on. Am I supposed to get up in that? Or you want me to stay up out of this? God, this battle's come to my front yard. What are we going to do about it? What David was actually asking is, he said, God, are you going to cause me to win? What do you want me to do? And the Lord answered him. Everybody say it with me. The Lord answered him. See, when you call on God, he's going to answer you. God's not somebody that you're just going to talk to and they're not going to respond to you. You ever have anybody like that in your life? You're talking to them and they are not responding? That gets on my nerves. My son tries to do that. I'll say something, Carson, blah, 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 blah. He won't even respond. Brother Larry, you know how many times I've wanted to just slap him off of his chair? I said, look, kid, when mama talks to you, respond. See, when you ask God something, he's going to respond to you. He's going to answer you. It may not be what you wanted to hear. It may not be how you wanted things to go down, but he's going to answer you. Many people, they don't want to stick around and ask God. They just want to go with it and hope it works out. Well, those type of things, they never do work out. You got to ask God, and then you got to have all the stuff that it takes to just do what God told you to do about it. So he asked him, and the Lord answered him, go, I will hand them over to you. I'll hand them over to you. See, what we got going on is a lot of fighting in this world. The other day, the town apparently had a little drive-through Halloween candy given out. How many of you know that took work for whoever orchestrated that? Took work, volunteers, money, people giving of their time. You know what all I saw on that tyranny? You don't want to hear? Griping. I thought, what is wrong with people? Why are people griping about something free? Now, I personally did not go. You know why? Because about every other week, my child's got to go to the dentist, and I'm dishing out money. He don't need no more candy. But, you know, I was sitting there on Facebook, and I was thinking, now, God, this ain't right. Everybody's being mean to these people that took of themselves and took of their time and took of their money. See, everybody's fighting over something. It's time to stop that. Brother Mike, there ain't nothing to fight over. If you hold your peace and hold your ground, God will fight that battle. He'll tell you what to do in the battle. He told David, go out. I'm going to give them to you. I'm going to just flat out give them to you. See, God's looking for people that'll just say, God, I know that you've established me this far. Lord, I know that you haven't taken me this far to leave me now. See, lots of people right now, they're leaving God. They're leaving God. This isn't the time to leave God. This is the time to run harder to God. Why? Because let me tell you something, Kiele. With a lot of trial, there's a lot of breakthrough. You got to roll up your sleeves and say, look here, this is difficult, but I'm going to get up in the middle of the difficult and I'm going to listen to God. He has not let me down. He has not steered me the wrong direction. I'm going to listen to what God has to say. Lord, speak, because I'm listening. God, thank you for everything that you've done in my life so far. God, thank you for the provision and the favor so far. God, thank you for making it work out when you didn't have to, because God, it was me that messed up. God, thank you for showing up every morning with new mercy for me, because I sure messed up yesterday. God established you. He established you for purpose. For purpose. The devil's constantly trying to steal people's purpose. Don't want people walking up in their calling. Why? Well, whatever you called to do, it ain't going to always be easy. You're going to have a little bit of moments. You're going to have a little bit of moments. The other day, y'all are going to laugh because this is the craziest thing, and crazy things happen to me. I was counseling with somebody, and it was like a marathon counseling. I was on the phone for like 2 hours. I was thinking, I'm sick of my voice. I mean, really, I don't know how much more of myself I can hear. And I went outside. Any of y'all's ever been to my house, you know how my house is laid out. It's kind of weird. And connected to the garage, Brother John, is my laundry room, okay? Got the garage, the laundry room, the sunroom, and then the kitchen. Got them all connected. Well, I was born in Arkansas, so I don't shut doors. I'm on the phone with this person, and they're crying, and I'm trying to calm them down. For 2 hours. Well, I try to be a multitasker. I've never been real great at that. So I went out to the car. I left something in my car, Brother Larry. And I'm out there and I'm talking to this person. Out of my peripheral, I see a bushy tail up in my house. And I like one animal. And that's, well, I like Lulu. That's my baby girl. And I have 2 crawdads. And I love them. That's it. I'm not a dog person other than Lulu. I'm not a cat person. I'm not a raccoon person. I'm not a skunk person. And all I see is this enormous tail. And I said, I'm going to have to call you back. I know you're crying. I'm about to start crying or something even worse than that. This cat, there was a cat come up off the street, got up in my house, not just a kitty, no. This is a big, fat, mean cat. And it was loose up in my house. And this person's going, no, please don't get off the phone. And I was going, okay, you about to hear some crazy. And I'm trying to call for Jeremy. Jeremy ain't nowhere to be found. When I'm counseling with folks, Jeremy just goes upstairs. He gets tired of hearing me too. So, Brother Sam, here I am with this big, fat, ugly cat. That cat looked like it had gotten in a cat fight, and its tail was like missing hair, and all I was thinking was rabies. You know what? I was on the phone dealing with the cat up in my kitchen, and the word of God started coming to me. He said, Kelly, this is just how quickly you can let something up into your house that you don't want. It happens in a moment. You ever wish you could go back to a moment in time and you would have done something different? A moment. A moment. See, the word says, in the twinkling of an eye. That's how fast Jesus is going to come for his children. Look here, there are things that you're letting up in your house. God don't want them things up in your house. The devil will try to come at you in a million different ways. You see all these empty seats? It's not the pastor's fault when there's empty seats. You know whose fault it is? That person's and the devil's. I texted somebody for 3 months. You need to come back to church. You need to stop taking a vacation from God. You need to stop putting God last. Over and over and over. It's funny how when people need their pastor's right there to communicate back to them. But when the pastor's calling them, they don't want to hear from the pastor because the pastor done offended them. They don't want to talk to the pastor. I buried that person. It's a terrible feeling. See, in a moment, something can get up into your life. Shut that door. Shut the door. You know what I did? I got a big fat box, and I just started whacking that cat. I thought, Cat, you don't know Kelly Mae. I'm meaner than a junkyard dog. And I got that box, and I started shooing that cat up out of the house. Why? Because that cat don't belong up in my house. Amen? And it ain't staying for tea and crumpets. See, when the devil waltzes in and tries to get you all irritated with your family, with your husband, with your wife, with your children, with your boss, with your co-workers, you don't have tea and crumpets with Satan. You get you the biggest box or the biggest verse, and you start kicking its butt out of your life. Why? Because if you don't, the devil's coming up in there, and he's going to do three things. He's going to steal, kill, and destroy from you. You got to take that off the table. Take it off the table. What did David do? He said, God, do you want me to go out head first and take them on? And God says, go, because I'm going to get them with you. You got to know when to hold them, when to fold them, and baby, you best know when to walk away from some things. Walk away. See, there's things that we get ourselves involved in. We ain't got no business getting up involved in them. And then they cause us grief and stress and anger and irritation. And God done told you on the front end of that thing, walk away from that. I had a lady a while back, and she was calling me. It's the craziest thing. Crazy follows me. It always has. And lady called me, and she was complaining. She was criticizing her church. And I looked at my phone, and I got back on the phone, and I said, Sister, I'm a little confused right now because you don't go to my church. Well, I know. I just wanted to call and tell you. And I said, look here. I ain't the one you're going to call and tell it to. You call your pastor up. See, in that moment, you know what the devil was trying to do, Brother Sam? devil was trying to get me to try to pluck that person from their church and get them up in our church. Look here, God's going to build his house. It ain't going to be that like that. I said, Sister Sally Sue, I love you, and I love to hear from you. And I'm about to give you the best advice that I could ever give you. You need to stop being wicked, and you need to stop being angry and offended at your pastor and at your church. You need to get your butt back up in God's house as soon as you can get it there, because you're in the wrong. See, the devil is looking always to hurt God's kids. We allow him to. How? We leave the door open. And it just takes a second. Shut them doors. Shut them. Keep them out. And it says here, so David and his men went up to Baal-perazim, and there he defeated them. And he said, as water breaks out, God has broken out against my enemies by my hand. So that place was called Baal-perazim. And that word means, is that one of them cute babies? Look here. It's all right. That valley, David named it the Lord who breaks out. The Lord who breaks out. He renamed the valley. Why? Because that was the valley that God showed up in. The name of that place, the literal meaning of it is the Lord who breaks out. How did the Lord break out in the valley? David saw the problem coming. He heard about it. He said, God, what are we going to do? God says, you go out and you meet it. I'm going to be with you. And God broke out in that valley. Look here. If you're in the valley today, there's problems in your life and you're thinking, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Look here. God sees it. You see it. Tell God. Ask him what to do. You're not going to ask God something where he's not going to reply back to you. Now, you may have to slow yourself down. You may have to turn off that Netflix. You may have to turn off that whatever you've got going on and instill yourself. But God will tell you what to do. He'll tell you how to do it, and he'll tell you when to do it. And so it says here, once more the Philistines raided the valley. See, it happened again. You ever have the same problem and it come up again? Some problems, they just need a second dose of Jesus. They just need a second dose of Jesus. And it says, so David inquired of God again. You know what I've done for the last year? John, this is what my life has been for a year. I've gone up to God, and I've said, Daddy God, here I am again, and I'm asking you again. God, I've got a problem, and I'm asking you again. Problems wear you down. Stress will kill you. It'll wear you down. Stop right where you're at and say, God, I'm here again. God, I'm asking you again. God, you showed up last time, so God, I'm asking you again. God will show up over and over and over in your life. Crystal, he's not going to stop. When we think this is too big, it's not. It's not. He's going to keep showing up. You got to keep asking him. Keep asking him. God, here I am again. Every so often, I just feel like a little girl going back to the whiteboard with God. God, it's me again. Are you sick of me? Because, I mean, I'm sick of me. Oh, here we are again, and we got this problem now. You know what, Gina? I've come to a place where I tell God, God, I don't even know how you're going to fix this. I don't know. This is a mess. God, I got nothing on this, but I know you're doing it. So, God, I'm going to go, and I'm just going to try to have joy, and I'm going to stop this being irritated with this, and I'm just going to go on and enjoy my family. I'm going to try to enjoy my life. I'm going to enjoy my husband. I'm going to enjoy my house. I'm going to enjoy my vehicle. Do you ever notice how the devil, he will try to take all the enjoyment out of the most precious things that you have? That's what he does. That's what he does. And so David inquired of God again, and God answered him again. Do not go straight up, but circle around them and attack them in the front of the balsam trees. And as you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the trees, move out to battle, because that will mean that God has gone out in front of you. Look here, if you'll stop and you'll still yourself, you know what you're going to hear, Mama Dale? You're going to hear the sound of God himself going out before you. A lot of people won't quiet down and settle down long enough to hear that sound. But tyranny will get quiet enough, still enough, sober-minded enough. What you're going to hear is you're going to hear God. And you know what you're going to have? A knowing. God, you went out. You're already there. You're already in that. The devil tries to take the carpet, Diana, and pull it out from under people. Knock the breath out of them. It doesn't knock the breath out of God. But what we have to do is we have to ask God, inquire of God. And here's how that looks. You ever had somebody ask you a question and they won't shut up for you to answer it? I mean, I'm that person. I'm like, I'll ask somebody something. I'm like, blah, 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 blah. And my husband's like, now, I thought you asked me this question. Why are you talking? Because I'm a talker. When I get nervous, I talk. I don't know what to tell you, Jeremy. And he's like, well, just be quiet. God, what are we going to do? Now, God, I'm going to shut up, and I'm going to sit back, and I'm going to wait to hear you. You're going to hear him. You'll hear God. You'll have that knowing of right what to do. He'll tell you. He'll tell you how. See, the first time he said, you just go head on. Second time he goes, now look here, here's what we're going to do. You're going to curve around here, and you're going to come around the side. And when you hear them balsam trees, you're going to know that I done went before you. Then you need to go out. That's how you're going to do it. And it says, as soon as you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the balsam trees, move out to battle, because that will mean that that God has gone out in front of you to strike the Philistine army. So David did as God commanded, and they struck down the Philistine army all the way from Gibeon to Gezer. So David's fame spread throughout every land, and the Lord made all nations fear him. See, God established him. God will establish you in the middle of a pandemic. He'll establish you in the middle of disaster. And here's the biggest clue. Only God can do that. Sometimes we're looking at men and people and things for validation, and we ain't going to get them up in there. We're going to get them through God. God will validate you. He'll provide for you. He'll establish you. He'll direct your path. And the paths that's gone crooked, he'll straighten them out. You got to ask him. Ask him. God, what would you have me to do? And then you have to listen and do what he tells you to do. Handle it how he told you to handle it. Next place for me, Isaiah chapter 41. Verse 9. And it says, I took you from the ends of the earth, from its farthest corners, and I called you. I said, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not rejected you. So do not fear. I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. If you don't hear anything that I've said today, I want you to hear this. God's helping you. He's strengthening you. He loves you. Not only does he love you, but he called you out. He chose you and he gave you a name and he said, this is my kid and this is going to work out for that child because I'm their daddy and that's how it's going to be. So when the devil comes to your mind and your thought process and he tells you this ain't working, you tell him, look here, Daddy God says that it's happening. He says that it's worked out. Isaiah chapter 45. Verse 2, you know, a lot of times when I see a problem coming, my fleshly brain wants to think, I'm going to get out ahead of this problem. I'm going to cut it at the, before it starts up. Sometimes I do. But I would be a whole lot better off if I would recognize God's already gone there. You know how exhausting it is to try to fix problems before they've happened? Exhausting. Because the devil will play mind games on you. He'll make you think you've got a problem with something or somebody, and there's not a problem there. Devil will get you, your mind playing games on you. See? And it says here, I will go before you. I will go before you. If you've been in the middle of something and you've been saying, God, where are you? God, where are you at? God, are you working? What are you doing, God? Because I feel like I'm drowning in this. It says, I will go before you and I will level the mountains. See, if it's a mountain you face, then call it what it is. It's a mountain. Nothing more. What does God do to mountains? He levels them off. He'll level it off for you. It says, and I will level the mountains. I will break down gates. See, we serve the God. He'll break down every obstacle. He'll break down the chains. He'll come in and he'll make something pretty out of something that the devil intended it to be ugly. And he says, I will break down the gates of bronze and cut through the bars of iron. And I will give you the treasures of darkness, riches stored in secret places, so that you may know that I am the Lord, the God of Israel, who summons you by name. See, God's called you out, and he's called you by your name. That's how important that you are. For the sake of Jacob, my servant of Israel, my chosen, I summon you by name and bestow on you a title of honor. Though you do not acknowledge me, I am the Lord and there is no other. Have you come to that fact? God, you're God. God, you're my God. And God, there ain't nobody else like you. So God, I'm not going to search in places that I know you're not in. God, I know that you've gone before me. If you've listened to this message this morning, you know, Gina, every Saturday night, I say, God, what do you want to say? Because look here, if I get up here and say what I want to say, it's going to be a gamble. I never know what's going to come out. I just ask God, God, what do you want to say? Many times I don't know why I'm preaching what I'm preaching. And you know what, Kiele, it doesn't matter. I don't have to know. But for whoever this is for, God wants you to know that he already has gone before you. And all the built-up stress and anguish and weariness that you've gotten yourself built up for, God would like you to leave here a little lighter. That stress and fear and worry and anxiety and irritation and anger, that did not come from God. If there is anybody in this moment and you say, Pastor Kelly, I want you to pray for me. I want you to lay your hands on me and I want you to pray. because I've been going through a moment of everything that you've preached about. And I don't want to leave here feeling like that any longer. I'm going to put this mask on. I've got this Germex, and we're going to make the best of it. If you need prayer, I want you to raise your hand. Where's Pastor Jeremy? Come on, babe. And I'm going to say this. If you need to leave the service, it is 5 till noon. That's totally acceptable. It's totally acceptable. But see, this is the house of prayer. It's going to always be the house of prayer. So whoever, I'm going to start here. And we're just going to make our way over there. Now look here. Every person, see, this is your family. This is your family. And if your family's having a hard time, you're having a hard time in a sense, because this is your family. So please pray. Y'all pray. Begin to pray. Begin to help. Lord God. Now, is there anything specifically?